It kind of helped them advance. I mean, do you think this was a conspiracy?
Got to go with Jacob Butter. Got to go left.
We're talking about the players at tournament champion to the podcast.
There he is, right there.
Oh, he doesn't even know how to watch. Go to YouTube.com and search Down Lane Podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Down Lane Podcast. We are streaming live from the lab at Town and Country Lanes. I'm your host, Kyle Haynes, and with me is the assistant to the host, Anthony Skaysha.
You forgot a few things.
What did I forget?
Non-touring pro, professional lefty urethane thrower.
Non-touring PBA member, professional lefty urethane thrower.
You're not allowed to have opinions if you're not on tour.
Listen, got to go to Walmart sometimes and buy yourself some awareness about jokes. Maybe take life a little bit easier instead of being keyboard warriors.
Nick, what's up? Welcome to the chat.
So, you know.
You drilled him a new ball?
I did. Jackal Ghost.
Nice.
He bought it for himself for his birthday. He got himself a birthday gift.
Oh, that's cute.
So we checked his span, got him fit up, and it rolls really good, and kids throwing it good.
Nice.
Rolling it real nice.
Austin, how are you this week?
Ready for the end of the week.
I thought you said the end of the bowling year, because me too.
Yeah.
I mean, what about Go Juice? Such a weird name, but I like it.
Go Juice in the house.
Somebody has some sarcasm and understands my jokes.
Your jokes aren't possible to understand. We can't even understand you generally.
Or my takes that weren't too serious.
Which one?
About the Demolition Derby?
Oh, my God.
Say no Demolition Derby.
What was the rest? He doesn't even remember.
I remember this ain't no Demolition
Something
Derby.
About pedal down?
I don't know. All right.
Come out swinging.
We got a lot to get to this week. We're going to talk about the Masters just a little bit. That was a hell of a tournament, hell of a finish. We're going to talk about the latest controversy on the internets between J.R. Raymond and Mike Pinnell. And we got a viewer question, or maybe not so much question, but
like a thought.
Yeah, thought-provoking.
Like an open debate, yeah. Like what we thought.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah.
About lanes and oil and all the good things. Like kind of what was the idea? What's
most impactful?
Right. For maybe people. Ball reaction or scoring or whatever. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we'll talk about that. Before all of that, don't forget to like, subscribe, click the bell to get alerts from the channel. This is our season finale. This is week 30 of the season, which means it's our last night of bowling, which means it's our last episode of the season. So you guys got plenty of time to catch up on all of the episodes. Thank you, Austin. So yeah, if you can't watch.
You guys like this sweatshirt?
No. Just kidding.
All right. Whatever.
I'm just kidding.
It's new.
I'm sure Janelle got it for you.
No, actually, Rebecca did for my birthday. Janelle's like, I like that color. I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
If you can't watch on YouTube,
I wear it when I don't do plug work.
You can always download and listen via your favorite podcast service. You can always email us at downlanepod@gmail.com and go to that Etsy shop where you can get some t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, all that good stuff.
I should have joined the weight loss challenge you guys did.
Yeah, because I gained weight.
I look good. Look at my chin. You can't even see the double chin no more. Man, I look good. Awesome. Turn the filter on to black and white because I always look good in Nor.
So, how'd you guys do this week?
This week I didn't bowl. Oh, I did bowl Monday. I don't remember. Actually, I think I did all right. The other team didn't show up. So, it was the first time we won more than like 15 points.
Oh, and one of your teammates didn't show up either, right? So,
yeah.
Was it just two of you there?
No. Colonel always brings a guest.
Oh.
So, I've had like a pacer for every week.
Oh, nice.
So, I just hang out with his buddies and I just kind of, I shouldn't even say I hang out. Sometimes I'm a little cranky because it's the end of the year. Tuesday didn't have to bowl because we stunk that up. Monday, I don't remember what I shot. I bowled pretty all right. I'm finding a few things about my game. I haven't been able to bowl a lot, so I feel as if the end of the year is going to be good. I've been struggling a little bit, so I'm happy to maybe get more lane time.
Try some different things out, maybe.
Yeah, I've been working on a few different things on my game. I've been working on my head, the level of my head going through the swing, and then I noticed that I was bending over with my hips at the line and my waist instead of my legs. kind of some stuff we talked about when you had your lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just watched myself and watched, oh, I'm losing some leverage, which is why I'm not coming out of the ball the right way every time.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been working on, and I've been working on, I worked on my timing. I don't really believe in timing, but I believe in getting the ball in the right spot on the slot.
The one guy call it. In the bowling world that doesn't believe in timing.
Yeah, I think if you just do it, you just gotta trust it. Your body's gonna do it, you know, if you've been doing it. So that's how I feel, but I know I gotta get my ball in the second step of the swing, not earlier, just because it makes my arm swing go out a little farther. So that's kind of the only thing. That just makes me clear my hip the right way. So there's some small things that I've been working on, but I'm gonna try and work on them a little bit more here. Hopefully I don't have to work till 12 and then practice at 1 a.m. because that's been the routine the past few weeks. I'm just kind of done with that.
Well, that's the end of the season, so lanes will be open.
Yeah, let's hope. You never know. I'm still busy in the shop, so I got a few more balls in today. I did like 9 balls last night. So, hopefully I can find some more time for myself. But, if I don't, let's spring purple to Nationals. I'll be all right.
Be fine. Tyler, welcome to the chat. Thanks for, viewing tonight. Austin, how was your week this week?
I left a lot of 4 pins and 9 pins. A lot.
How many weeks you got left?
Oh, I think there's like 6 weeks left over there.
What?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, it's insane.
We caught every single holiday this year.
Oh, my God.
These guys don't finish till May, the guys out here.
Gross.
I know.
Absolutely nuts.
But, I am very happy that we have a 30-week league, because even if we catch, well, we always catch Thanksgiving, obviously. And then,
do we?
And then even if we happen to catch Christmas and New Year's.
Do we? Sometimes.
Yes.
Do we?
We will occasionally do that.
Saturday and Sunday the past few years. It's going to change? You think it's going to change back to like the weekend?
Oh, my God. Even if we happen to catch it, we will still end within April.
Well, people are still 30-week leagues, but they hit like 2 or 3 holidays.
That's literally what I just said.
We hit like 4 or 5.
There, see? Sure. Boom. We hit 4 or 5. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur.
But yeah, I hit the pocket a lot. Ball was just so funny. Driving very hard.
Anita, what's up?
I was just about to do my green sheet, then we came on live, so couldn't do it. Kyle, I'll put your email in. Don't worry,
Anita. I appreciate you doing your green sheet. It doesn't matter if you put your email in.
I didn't do mine.
Sorry to interrupt you, Austin. It doesn't matter if you put your green email in, because I've received absolutely zero responses that people filled them out. So none of those green sheets have come back to me. So that's
what you're saying is
it's a pointless feature of the green sheet.
Tyler Bowles, the season was 20 weeks. They got the adult state open at the center. Can't wait to bowl the youth open this weekend. Well, good luck this weekend. And you don't bowl Boulevard because they have the New York State open. So he's not from New York. He's got to be somewhere else.
He's got to be from
Minnesota.
I don't know. Let us know what state you're from there, Tyler.
I just guessed Minnesota.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the thought?
48 to go. Minnesota. 48 to go. And Minnesota's
I don't think he's from Hawaii.
I was going to say, Hawaii's probably out. Alaska's probably out.
Indiana. I was close. Midwest. Boom. They're like the same place.
Oh, my God.
Isn't Minnesota like Northwest?
Isn't Minnesota in Indiana?
No.
Jeff, you catch on to that one?
Anyway, so sorry to interrupt, Austin.
Sorry, I am
less interested in how your bowling is going over at Sportsman's and more interested in about
6 weeks left.
Your one more night here on Thursday nights in your doubles league.
Yeah,
Rich Manzer against Nick and me.
So it's going to be tough tonight for Kyle and Nick. Kyle's probably going to throw some chairs, because I'm planning to carry absolutely everything.
Oh, my God. Kyle, you had like a sneezing attack on the lane last week.
There was.
Like you threw a shot, and it's like, achoo! I didn't get it. I didn't know what was going on.
There was an issue, yeah.
You're allergic to oil or something?
I think so, yeah. There was an issue.
I've never seen Kyle throw a ball inside of 15.
Oh, my God. For crying out loud.
What do you mean? That's all he plays.
So, anyway, last week you got to watch the episode of Tonight We Bowl just uploaded today, which was our performance from last week, where Austin and Rich tried to overtake the first position, or
Jib DRS.
No, they couldn't overtake it, but at least
could have been half a point out.
Right. So you guys got 3 last week?
We got two.
Oh, we got three.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Do you have DRS? Did they have DRS?
I don't know what that is.
Were you able to hold on the league? They weren't able to overtake?
Oh, no. No, no, no. We have
F1, DRS, that's like when they go faster. So like then when they try to overtake somebody, they use that. My buddy Nick will know.
Yeah.
I am the Fiat. We'll know what that means.
My God.
And my F1 friends will.
Anyway.
I'm full of it tonight.
We're talking about bowling.
I know, but I just thought it was fun to...
So, no, we did not close them out. Or shut them out, I should say. So they have to shut us out
pretty
tonight.
Darn close.
Some people don't have the clutch gene.
I definitely didn't. Because I shot 190 the first game last week. It was sometimes ugly.
I'm gonna blame the rack for the fourth game last game.
Where's my dad?
Absolutely packed 10 pin.
Were we on 13-14?
If Nick Harris is in the chat, he could tell you all about the racks here.
13-14 is an interesting pair. There's a lot of 9 pins, a lot of 8 pins on that pair, if you ever notice. It's like lane 7 for me. Yep. 7 Kyle is always 8s. Like, it's weird. Like, that pair is just like, you know, when I go back there, I always move that pin a little bit on that freaking.
I will tell you, though, the absolute power, which I absolutely love. I love that ball.
No pun intended.
But there are just a few occasions where it might be the way the ball is rolling, obviously. It just will miss the 8 pin. Like, you've seen it, and it's been on the video multiple times that it just doesn't get the 8 pin out.
Don't worry. That eternity left one too.
Yeah. Yours.
Oh, yours.
What? No, I don't have
what
an eternity.
What ball were you throwing?
Absolute power.
No, you switched.
Or absolute power and then a attention star.
Attention star.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, but there was also a puddle of oil on 13 right in the middle. I was just shoving it up the puddle.
Me and Nick both agree that you switched too fast.
I don't care what you guys think. I shot 190. I needed a switch.
The second game, me and Nick both looked at each other and said, man, is he just going to shove that thing into the head pin for this whole game?
And I did, didn't I?
I was really wondering if you were going to shove a ball in.
Did I shoot 220?
No.
What did I shoot?
Like 2-0.
Oh, well, fine. Whatever. Still shot 880 with a 190. So made it work. Anyway, so we only have to win 1 point tonight in order to lock up first. So there we go.
Congratulations.
Woo! Still a tough night.
Go Chiefs, good week. Good luck in the Open Championship for your state. Good luck this weekend.
There's definitely no guarantees. We just got to show up and bowl. Nick, you got to show up and bowl.
Yeah, see, Kyle and Nick have a lot less pressure on them because we have third place breathing down our necks.
Also true.
So we're not only going for first, we're also trying to hold on a second as well.
All right, so let's talk about the Masters. Shall we? Did you guys watch the show?
I think I did. I think I fell asleep for the Belmo versus guy before. Who did Belmo?
Belmo had other Australian.
Yeah, I fell asleep in that match.
Sam Cooley.
I just couldn't understand what they were saying.
Dombrowski.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Cooley just did not look comfortable.
Man, that was a joke.
No, I totally missed everything. It. I wasn't listening.
I said I couldn't understand him. I just couldn't watch it.
Good eye, Mike.
It was a joke. They don't talk on TV, but...
So, apparently there was... he's been doing this for 20 years now, but a lot of people were not happy, like you were talking about before the show, and then people on our page also commented they were not happy about Belmo's leg placement on the ball return, and your dad has been talking about it for 20 years because he hates that he does that.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, and I don't get it.
Well, it's all the kids now. All the kids that have grown up watching him. I say the kids because they're all 20-year-olds. Yeah.
There's zero reason.
They all put their foot up there waiting, on the ball return while they're...
Are they stretching?
I don't know.
I don't do it. I don't know. My dad yelled at me one time when I did it, but I was actually like sitting on the ball return or something. I got yelled at. I don't know what I was doing, but...
Yeah, I definitely don't do it.
It's weird. It seems... I will say... Sometimes when my legs are a little bit sore, it feels good to put my leg up there.
There's like...
I don't know. That's just... It's weird to say. Like, just putting it out there.
There's chairs all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but when you're on your feet and then you're like, oh man, my legs are hurt today. I don't know how you guys feel, but when I'm here on the hardwood floor all day and then I'm like, then I put my leg up a little bit, like, feels a little bit better. Like, it's like, oh, a little bit more relief. Legs a little bent. A little different circulation, maybe. I don't know. So, you know...
I hear what you're saying. Except he's sitting in a chair. Yeah, he definitely just likes to do it. He likes to look hip and cool, you know? He's got his foot up there.
I don't do it.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Belmo.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Oh, what an April Fool's joke, by the way, from the PGA.
Oh, that was pretty funny. There's not a lot of good corporate April Fool's jokes that are funny. That one was actually pretty funny.
They ruined a big chance. They should have never said April Fool's in the post.
Absolutely, 100%.
They should have waited till the day after and be like, haha, April Fool's.
Yeah.
I hate that day.
Why, who fooled you? Did Janelle get you again?
No. That is not a fool. Okay, Kyle, that was a terrorist attack on me in my own house. So that's terrorism. I just don't like it because so much stuff comes out and I'm like, man, oh, that's wow. I can't believe that happened. And I'm like, oh, taste April 1st.
Got me again.
I don't like that day. I don't like the April. Like, I don't think it's funny. I don't think like, why don't you just have more fun the rest of the year? And then you don't need April Fool's Day. Like, if your life is that bland where you have to make a joke.
It's in the spirit of the holiday. Or not holiday.
It's not even a holiday. It's just a pretend made-up day.
Just like the rest of them.
Leif Erikson Day?
Just like the freaking solar eclipse day we're going to have Monday?
Do we got to have days off for that? That's serious.
Guys, let's not get me sideways.
I liked your post.
Thank you.
That was a good email back.
Thank you.
Listen, the April Fools, I don't like it. I don't care for it. So don't make jokes on it because I don't like it.
Mostly because you don't get the joke. I think that's what it comes down to.
More than likely, it probably is true, but I just don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Like, just have more fun throughout the year. Like, maybe post every once in a while a joke instead of being like, oh, another one for April Fool's. And you're like going through everything. You're like, man, all this news is all like fake. And it's like, oh, it's April Fool's Day. Hello.
Yep. Just have a better sense of humor, Anthony.
Really? Normal people need to figure out.
So Belmo sees Dombrowski. Dombrowski takes on Belmo. I did not get to see that match. How did that match go?
Belmo had it in the bag.
Belmo lost. All he
had to do was mark and E2-8-10.
Well, to be fair, Dombrowski, I believe, also needed a mark to shut him out. And then he threw a split.
I don't know if he needed a mark.
Yeah, I believe he needed a mark. Look it up. Thank you, Austin. I shouldn't say look it up. I should say thank you. I believe he needed a mark to win. Then Belmo needed to go up there and mark, strike, or do whatever it was. I don't remember because I was half asleep. And he left an 8-10.
2-8-10.
It was a 2-8-10.
Yeah. Everybody said 8-10.
2-8-10.
It was a 2-8-10.
Well, I walked outside because I had to go do something quick. Then I came back out and everybody was messaging me and I was like, oh my God, he 8-10'd. 8-10 would have been way cooler than a 2-8-10. Anyways, yes, he needed a marked win. Thank you, Goat Juice. And he did not throw it good. And then he came back saying I should have waited or whatever. And apparently the phone dropped or something.
Somebody dropped something.
I get it.
But
imagine if Tom Brady complained when he was.
Yeah. All the people yelling and while he's throwing the ball down the field.
I will say that.
Like, no, it was an 8-10. Thank you. Thank you. It was an 8-10. You guys are horrible.
There was a 2-8-10 left in.
Then the 2-pin went down late.
Or maybe it was.
Oh, the 2-pin fell late. JP's on. Now he's. Man, Jesus, I just can't. Oh. Anyways, he didn't make it. Okay, people.
to be fair, I'm glad I didn't actually know what was left because I was watching it while I was driving. So.
Jeez. This is not an endorsement of watching movies or videos while driving.
Anyways, it happened. Dombrowski ends up winning.
Unless you're watching this podcast.
And then we get into the final match of D-Ron Baker versus Patrick Dombrowski. Patrick, right? It is Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was interesting because we did talk about the Baker. I mean, now we see him. That's what he said. Yeah, he did really good. The first shot was awesome. Did you guys see the first shot that Baker threw?
Is that his crossover?
He crossed over like
a Booker.
Oh, yeah, Booker.
You said Baker.
Oh, man.
Don't worry. Chad is correcting him.
Sorry, guys. Wow. How's that asleep? Booker. Teron Booker. Baker. Why did I say Baker?
Our fans will correct us later tonight.
Man, I'm really off tonight.
Yeah, well, anyways. All right, like, hang on a second. So somebody said.
I'm so bad.
Somebody
so
either asked him directly or like through a Facebook post or something, and they said, how do you. Is it. Deron, like D-E-R-O-N, or Deron. He said, I don't care as long as you spell it right on the check. So he had a super good sense of humor.
I believe they spelled it wrong.
And it looks like they missed the second N on that check, which, of course, is not the real check. But
But if you take a picture with $100,000, you want the right name on
there. So it looks like they wrote it D-E-E-R-O-N and then squeezed in the second N between the two names. It was pretty funny.
I will say that his first shot was awesome. Yep. If you didn't watch, because he left, I think it was a 5-pin, and he crossed over. And you could tell, I mean, he was shaking like a leaf in the wind. I mean, he was... I mean,
how would anybody feel on their first telecast? At least Dombrowski had been there before. Like, he hadn't won before, but he had at least experienced TV. He's won a bunch of tournaments.
And that was his second Masters in a row, correct?
I believe that he made the last year.
Show last year.
So, I mean, I watched his first shot.
Either last year or the year before. I can't remember, but it was recent, yeah.
And when he threw that shot, he turned around and said, I'm pretty sure he was like, I didn't throw a gutter.
That's what I would have said.
I didn't get three. I got a 5-pin. But the problem is, you left a 5-pin. Yeah. I think, and I'm like, man, imagine if you left a 5-pin and you missed it on TV on the first shot. I'd be freaking shaking. Like, maybe it wasn't a 5-pin. I can't exactly remember.
I got to say, I would have probably got the crowd involved, especially for a 5-pin. Like, if it was a 5-pin, I would have got the crowd amped up with their hands in the air.
No, not the first shot.
It would at least, after the first frame, but after the, after the first shot is nine down.
Tyler says nine.
Oh, 9-pin. All right, so that's not a...
What's up, Bones? Jeez, I'm going to get beat up by Mr. Riggles in the chat. sorry.
But yeah, I would at least be able... It would help me relax if they were
9-pin.
Helping me out. You know what I mean?
He left a 6-pin, like, a next shot or something close. I know what you're talking about. Anyways...
But from then on out...
He was lights out.
Dude, he was...
His game was smooth. He didn't
so clean.
He didn't do a lot. He kept it within himself.
There's almost nothing he can do except really grab on it. Like, unless he for some reason gets to the bottom and grabs on it, there's nothing he can do to get in his own way. Yeah. Like you said,
I mean, he bowled lights out on the shell. In like the first shot, of course, throw the first shot of the way because I don't even know if I would keep it on the lane.
Listen, I'm probably throwing a 130. In that situation.
No, I'm glad you know that you're going to shoot.
Look at TD, man. Like, he literally shot 100. And I would probably be the same way, thinking, like, thank God I kept it on the lane this first shot. Like, thank God.
Agreed. Goal is to make a spare this game.
He bowled lights out, though, like we said. I mean, he was right on the tracer. I mean, he was clean out of the ball. He didn't really do anything crazy. He kind of let Dombrowski make a few mistakes. I felt like Dombrowski was in the wrong ball. He was throwing a fate for most of the match, I believe.
Interesting.
And then
that attention star was
Booker.
It seemed like the ball of choice.
Belmo had three
for all of
all of the staff
match play. Yeah.
Belmo drilled two before the show, from what Tim Mack wrote, and he was throwing a tour dynamics too. But he had like two or three of them, and then. I know that. Who was the other guy that was in the show? Was there another Storm guy? Because I know Belmo threw. Who was the first guy up?
Yeah. Let's see. Sam Coley is. Richie Tease is Storm.
Richie Tease. I think he threw that one too, if I remember correctly. Like I said, I don't remember much because I can't even get.
Match. How did he bowl?
They both bowled fine. Just Richie Tease towards the end of the match started to waver.
Well, Cooley to me looked like he was tugging every single ball.
First match, he bowled well.
I thought he bowled pretty good, actually.
And Richie, just towards the end, like I said, it seemed like no matter where he went left, it still just kept overhooking. And then all of a sudden, he really missed one right. And so he got to that point where it was like too far left, the ball wouldn't recover type of thing. So he just couldn't make the shots towards the end. So Cooley had a much better look. And he was using a red ball, which I think is a Jackal type of ball, isn't it? I don't know Motive very well.
It could be the Jackal Pearl. I don't remember what it's called, but it is something along the lines of a Jackal Pearl. I don't know what he threw. I don't remember. I thought he threw the pink ball, and maybe that was EJ Tackett in match play.
Yes, that was EJ in match play.
Yeah.
Sam Cooley on TV was using some red Motive ball, obviously Motive.
Probably Jackal.
Was that
Pearl Jackal? Maybe.
Don't remember.
Crimson Jackal, it's called.
Okay.
That's it. I don't remember what he was throwing. It was definitely a good show. I was happy with the result. I'm kind of like not seeing
same thing over and over.
I kind of was like, Thelma wins, that'll be good, you know, because he's pretty good. But I kind of wanted Dombrowski to win, but he's been there a few times. So, listen, he's a good player. But then Booker winning, that was good too, because, I mean, shoot, I was like, man, like he's giving hope for all the people that wantable the PBA events too, because he's not physically overpowering.
Right.
He's just deadly accurate.
He is like the rest of us. Like,
you know,
I said that before about French Fry, you know, because he's a low rev guy, but his game still isn't
as like, powerful as some of the other guys.
Well, what I'm saying is his game is still not like all of us out here. You know what I mean? Whereas
he's still pretty strong, I would think.
That's what I'm saying. French Fry with the, why can't I say his actual Lavoie name? Lavoie. Thank you.
Francois
Lavoie. His game is not like ours, right? Like not you, but I'm saying me, other guys out here, you know what I mean? But we can relate to Booker. Like Booker's game is very traditional and classic. Like, he just was straight back, forward.
He was pretty timeless too. Like his, time was like, that was like, it looked good.
Yeah.
Like man, you could watch that over and over and over again. And he was so clean out of it. And every shot was, I don't know. Listen, I don't know how he normally throws it. I don't know if he was tricking it because we don't see him, but I mean, man, When you're on that pattern and it's that demanding and he beat Simo, he beat EJ Taggett, he beat Dombrowski. I mean, he beat a bunch of guys to get there. Twice he beat Dombrowski, right? Because he had to beat him to see who was the 1-2 seed.
He beat him in the winning bracket, and then he beat him on TV.
Yeah, like incredible performance, especially for your first time out. Can you imagine beating Simo? Then you beat EJ, like in back-to-back rounds.
Dude,
like those two are like the top
of, and he's had a couple of good years, so I was kind of looking him up a little bit, and over the last couple of years he's won his local masters, he's won his state masters, he won doubles the doubles year. Eagle at Open Championships last year. So he has had a hell of a couple of years bowling, and now hopefully PBA wise he'll do even more.
Well, I mean, it's tough when the PTQs are so limited.
And now he wins $100,000 at the Masters jumps right into the PTQ. doesn't even get a spot. I know we've said this a million times, but like how ridiculous that you are the champion of the Masters and you have to PTQ the immediate week after.
Makes sense.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
See, Harris, what's going on, man?
Hopefully just a wake-up call that there's guys who can bowl out there that, you know, they can win. They just got to give them the opportunity. It's hard to win when you take 10 guys out of 80 person field.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that was 460, but
the World Series one.
No, I'm talking about,
oh, that one. Well, yeah, no, yeah. You know what I mean?
I know.
But it was good to see him win. I was amped. Pretty cool. I was amped. It was good.
And half the crowd was there for him too.
And he really just, like I said, he just never missed. Like that one time when Troop was on, he didn't miss. I mean, obviously it's Troop versus Booker, but why did I say Baker before? I don't know. Booker. he was painting lines, man.
Yeah.
Talking about Troop's win this year.
Yeah, like when Troop was on fire and he couldn't miss. Like it was the same deal. I mean, he obviously, I don't think maybe the pattern was as broken in to where like they can hook it that much. But at this time, he's literally painting the lines on something that's probably the hardest thing you'll bowl on all year.
Right.
If not one of them. And he just let Dombrowski kind of beat himself.
Yeah.
In a way. I mean, not saying he would have won if Dombrowski was striking, but I mean, he just never made a mistake.
Speaking of pattern, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but you with the image of the pattern on the lane on TV, you could actually see how blocked out, and I don't mean blocked out like
the lefties were.
And that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying how blocked out the oil was compared to the right side. So the right side tapered down and the left side was literally blocked to the gutter.
Yeah, I think that's,
you could visually see it.
I did look at the graph because actually Tom Anderson, one of our guys here, we talked about it on Monday, and I mean, it is what it is. You got to bowl on what you got to bowl on.
Right.
Just remember, lefties always have to be twice as good as the right. The left side is traditionally bumped out no matter what. If I remember correctly, I looked past at some of the Open Championship patterns and some of the other Master patterns. If I remember correctly, because it was on Monday, most of them are pulled out because the track for the lefties, because they play a little straighter normally, is a little further out. If I remember right, I'll see if I can find it on my phone too. But so that it's not like it was a slight to take the lefties out of play.
But it's not what you're saying is it's not totally unusual. But what you can see is how the right side was tapered in from corner to middle of the lane.
Yes.
And the left side was literally a block and 5 or more feet longer of a block. So like there was zero taper left to right.
Yeah, no, it was
so really flat. Very different.
It was really flat and the
and thing longer.
Where the block was.
Correct.
Right.
It's not the end of the pattern, but the even the almost like I don't know if you could call it the drop rush, because I don't know if it was forward or backward,
it wasn't the drop rush. It was just where the loads were structured that way. Right. If I remember right,
The drop rush is the drop rush.
Right. But the loads were it was like if that was like the six board where it was blocked out to, I don't think it was, but the six board was used longer. Yes. So it was like 6 to 6 and then which is 6 left, 6 right, and then it went 6 to 8, 6 to 10. So the left side was always getting a sixes while the right was getting pulled in.
Yes.
I think it just I don't particularly think it was easy for the lefties because one, you're doing 44 feet, so your ball only hooks so much, and then you blocked them out farther out.
Yeah.
In a sense, you had to play basically pretty direct. I saw some lefties that I've bowled with. I saw some of their videos on Facebook and where they play the lanes. I mean, they struck on all of them, but obviously they didn't strike enough. So I don't know how you would play them. I mean, I probably would have just surfaced the ball to, I would have found some drywall screen and used that. But it definitely looked hard. It definitely was kind of blocked out towards the corner. You probably had to play tighter to the oil like the righties did. I mean, the righties did it this year, too. Not many righties were closer together. They're all kind of playing the oil instead of the dry. They were using the oil. I think the lefties might maybe want to use the dry a little bit more because there maybe isn't as much wear and tear in the lanes. Now, I don't know how old the lane surface is out there. I think it is kind of old. But still, when you're putting out 33 milliliters of oil and there's a third of the field is going to be left-handed, that's going to be 33. That's going to be about 100 players are going to be left-handed, roughly. Out there, and you've got 3 shifts, so you're gonna have you're gonna have roughly 33 maybe per shift, because it's gonna be 99. I don't know how much transition you'll see when you have such a big center, 30 pairs. You might get a few lefties bowling together, but besides the practice, if you're following other people where there isn't lefties, then you're not gonna see the transition at all. So it is what it is. I mean, you got to bowl what you're gonna bowl on. And I guess the lefties had to be like 6 times as good as the righties.
So
even though one guy made it, right?
One lefty.
Yeah,
that's like an accomplishment.
One 64 man bracket.
That guy needs to be.
I think he was awarded. Swedish.
You should get a medal.
You should. Sure. That's what I'm saying.
Top when lefty. Everybody
says the left is wild. It was wild. I'm going to get to that. I'm gonna look at this.
All right, we're going to move on to our next topic. Before we do, don't forget to like, subscribe, click the bell to get alerts from the channel. If you can't watch live on YouTube, you can always download and listen via your favorite podcast service. And you can always catch up on YouTube because these episodes are always there for you to watch. And since this is our last episode of the season, you can catch up all summer long. Let's see. Check out that Etsy shop where you can get some t-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, all that good stuff. And you can always email us at downlanepod@gmail.com. Excuse me.
Bless you, Kat.
So
yeah, the left was a little bit wider as well, and I think it went to
for sure it was wider.
It wasn't like 6 to 6 all the way down, but it stepped in a lot slower, so there was a lot more oil wide. So on 44 feet, it's got to be pretty tough.
No, D-Ron had to PTQ for the doubles, I'm pretty sure. If I'm
no, not the Roth Holman, I wouldn't assume. Well, what do I know?
I thought I checked the squad sheet, and I thought I saw his name on it, but maybe
on the PTQ
I was
list
wrong.
For the World Series of Bowling, yes, but for the doubles, I don't think you do.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, because Virgos and Andy Hall are bowling those, and they're typically PTQ guys.
Yeah.
So I think that's just normal.
There was
doubles.
A PTQ for doubles.
Was it really?
Yes. Yeah.
Seems smart.
And I'm pretty sure I saw Duran's name on the PTQ list for World Series of Bowling as well.
Congratulations to him, by the way. That's an impressive feat.
What's that? Masters?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yes. All right. So, bit of controversy on the social media because all of the know-it-alls were chatting up. So,
Does that count me too?
What's that? I don't know. You weren't chatting it up.
No, I don't. I don't do that stuff.
Although Bone Steel says that we are incorrect. That
good. Thank you.
Originally he did, but once he won, it got changed. Oh, so now the rules are different again? Great. Okay, sorry.
His name is definitely not on the PTQ list.
It was literally the day he won, so they must have changed it. Anyway, okay. So, let's see. What were we talking about? Oh, J.R. Raymond and Mikey Pinnell, son of Mo Pinnell.
Rip.
Gotten a little...
little tiffy or whatever they call it. Tizzy.
rat-a-tat-tat? I don't know. So, basically, who started...
I don't know. I do know that, here's a lefty last year's pattern. Actually last year's pattern, not to get off on a tangent. It was wider, but it was also way pulled in more.
Yeah. They didn't even oil past four last year, right?
No, but they also pulled the square in earlier.
Oh yeah. Way earlier.
And the righties had more to the right. Anyways, that this year they blocked the left out more and then they pulled the righties in. So they flip flopped it.
Yep.
Which in a sense doesn't make sense because they left lefties. Anyways, I remember everybody complained about the left side last year.
C. Harris. You should ask him if he wants to buy the rounds for tonight. No, he's got 100,000.
Mm. Oh, Duran's right there. You should ask him to check his messages because I asked him to be on the show tonight. Anyway,
I think he's busy.
Don't tell him.
He's sitting and watching.
Don't tell him I called him Baker. All right. I feel
no, C. Harris is there watching him bowl. So
the D-Ron person
might be bowling.
The person who...
Oh, he's watching him bowl. I get it. Okay. I thought he was sitting right behind him. My bad.
The person who started it that I saw was J.R. Raymond. I don't keep up with the other people in the world, but I did see that he made a point where layouts are not as important as people think because it comes down to axis rotation and all the other stuff to make the ball hook more and surface and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, so what I saw, too, is he said... Specifically referencing the Bowling Science Forum in air quotations.
I didn't pay attention.
Which I believe
a lot of things go over my head.
Mikey Pinnell maybe
I think he runs that.
Runs that
he did,
page.
He did the Bowling Science YouTube back in the day. So he still does it, I think.
He specifically called out Bowling Science Forum page on the Facebook. And he said that something to the effect of, you know, I don't understand this Bowling Science page or something because bowling layouts don't really matter. It all comes down to surface and everything else you just said.
That's basically the gist of what I got.
Right.
To.
And then there was a kind of a shot back from Mikey too, where he said, you can alter a ball by 20 boards by layout using just layouts.
Which is not incorrect. So the open-ended question for us is, which side do you believe in as the people here? And what our thought process is? Because this is kind of open-ended in what people think.
Yeah.
I don't really know if there's a true answer because it's all opinion at this point.
Sure.
So who wants to go first?
I'll start off because I had been thinking about this. So like my thought is, and I don't consider myself to be a layout expert by any means, but my thought is if you are working within your normal ranges, what I'll say normal ranges, where like your pins are above 2 inches long and not exceeding what, like 5 inches or something?
Six.
But like six is still pretty far for a lot of people, right?
And not within.
It shouldn't be less than.
You can't do like less than, I think 3/4 is the lowest you can go. So 3/4 is 6 inches.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you go even, I'm saying 2 to 5. Like, let's say you're just within 2 to 5 for length, just for general numbers. And then you have normal, and I'll stick with dual angle because I know zero things about the buffer system. So I'm going to go with dual angle layout. So if you're within the normal ranges of the dual angle where your first angle isn't supposed to be, is there supposed to be more or less for the first angle? Remind me. Like you're not supposed to go too low or too high, and then the second angle too low or too high. Whatever, I'll just say that. If you're within your normal angles, then the ball is not going to change that much without surface changes.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm saying. So if your pin is in within a certain range and your angles are within the normal ranges, you're fine.
I guess
switching inches left or right on a pin and doing your angles, I don't think you're going to see drastic changes until you start altering the surface and changing hand positions. What I think you're going to see drastic changes with is when you do, and what JR said, is pin on axis or pin way close to the axis or the complete opposite extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he was implying it about house shots too, just so for some context for you, because I do remember that now that Mark brings that up, and because the people don't release the ball consistently, sure. It's not as important as
absolutely.
Okay. Just so we're yeah.
And that's and 100% that matters too, because basically the ball, the lanes walk the ball for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of doesn't really matter there either. But when you see a pin on axis ball, that will 100% roll 20 boards different than mm-hmm. a standard drilled ball. If I'm speaking in a way that people are understanding, because I don't know if this is coming out the way I'm intending it to. But okay. when you're not drilling in the extremes,
they're close enough.
I think you could drill it 20 different ways and the ball probably won't change visually that much.
Okay.
Definitely not 20 boards like Mikey says.
That's fine.
What are you saying?
Do you want me to go?
What, your turn. My you got, either of you can go. I'm done. I rest my case.
Gibberish would be more comprehensible. SJR.
Nice. Thanks. Sorry.
Layouts don't matter.
Also, comprehensible is not the correct word, SJR. If you wanted to speak,
Kyle, you just tried to make a, you just tried to make a sentence and it didn't work. So don't yell at his English.
Gooder.
I don't know. I think I'm caught in a crossroads.
Well, let me also say this, because for the last few weeks, months, whatever, like my attention star was good but not great. Just touched the surface, great reaction on it. So like same thing with my Summit Peak.
It was gooder.
Yeah. Good. Now it's really good.
Okay.
So I think surface is 100% very way to important.
Go. Yeah. Go ahead. I will agree with that.
Now before it, no, I'm just
fine, go ahead. I mean, yeah. I think this is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Because as you know, I've had to experiment with my layouts and try to really learn more about them as the grip change has happened. And so I have some idea. I don't think layouts are as important as people think, in terms of when you're bowling, even on a sport shot, I think it matters, but it's not the ultimate thing. I don't think it's the most important thing, I guess. The ball mechanics are the ball mechanics. So like if a ball rolls more forward because of the core, then I think you're always going to have that in the ball if you drill it stronger or not. So Kyle's drawing for me. So I think that some cores have their characteristics. Like, for example, I have a mindset where the ball, that ball is such a higher intermediate differential, you know, that ball is going to roll forward regardless of the layout I put in it, because the ball is going to use the energy, in a shorter amount of time because it's more imbalanced. So I think that for me, I mean, when I have balls that are rolling more forward, I try to use a little less surface because I'm trying to get them to retain more, unless I'm trying to get the ball to read earlier. Because I've got a ball, I've got a mindset with a 4-inch, 4.25-inch pin, because that was my baseline ball for a while. So that ball picks up and goes forward. I have a perfect mindset with a 5-inch pin. That ball doesn't shape nearly as much, but it's still forward. It's very similar shape, except it's just a little bit cleaner. And because that's 2 parts solid, 1 part pearl, and the mindset's solid. 2 parts solid, 1 part pearl for the mindset, perfect mindset. The mindset, the original, is solid. So I think that both of them have similar shapes. I think the perfect mindset does roll a little bit more forward because that is a 5-inch pinball. So when you get farther away from the axis on asymmetricals, they use more energy. So they tend to roll more forward because they're burning your axis tilt and axis rotation off faster. Hence why the shorter pinballs, I don't want to say short pin, but the shorter ones to your axis, if I understand it correctly, because they have more energy and the pin has gotten to your axis faster, it's going to have more side roll. But regardless, if for me, the mindsets roll very similar. Most of the pro performance lines roll very similar for me until I start to get weaker cover. I think the cover stock and the surface are probably, I think, is what's really going to give you, you know, the rest of everything. I don't think the layout is as important as it used to be with the balance holes. I think that's a gooder idea. I don't know. It's been a little bit of a crossroads for me, but as we've been learning, I've been using less surface than normal. I've been using some different pin placements to try to do some different things. I just don't think layouts are as important as people think because the manufacturers make them the way they are. And if ball's going to roll forward, if it has a higher intermediate differential, you're not going to get the ball to not roll forward because it's just the way it is. You can alter how long it takes to go through that transition and you can alter other things. But I don't think that, you know, if you're looking at a pure madness versus a perfect mindset, or an original mindset, the perfect madness intermediate differential is lower. So what's the core mechanics going to do to the ball? It's going to make it have a less defined break point. It's going to roll a little bit more like a symmetrical, while the perfect mindset has a higher intermediate differential, which means it's going to have a stronger response of friction, a sharper or smaller hook zone, a smaller hook zone. So because the ball's already going to have a smaller hook zone, even if you try to delay it, it's still going to go forward because that's what the ball is intended to do. The pure madness, for example, for me at least, we're going to take the differential out of the equation. Just the core is less asymmetrical, so I typically see a little bit more continuation out of those balls, no matter if they're drilled with a 5-inch pin or not. So usually it's more about what the manufacturer wants. I do believe what JR said, though, with axis rotation, because if you get on the side of the ball more, the ball is going to have more continuation down lane because the ball is heading that direction. For me, I'm very up the back of it. My rotation is not greatly high, so I typically drill stuff to retain more energy because of that, even though I have a lot of tilt. But regardless, it's just the ball is going to do what it's going to do. You know what I mean? I think that especially when you're out bowling the tour or you're out bowling tournaments, surface prep is probably done before the tournament or during practice or after practice, depending on what tournament you're bowling in. I'm caught at a crossroads because there are balls that I like that are higher intermediate, but they still go forward for me down lane. They're different. The ball manufacturers make them to do something specific. Layouts can only alter them so much, and then your cover stock is going to also make a difference. If I have a ball with the perfect mindset cover stock where it's extremely strong, and then I have a ball where the defender has a weaker solid cover stock, what's going to be better for me? Well, sure, they can have the same numbers, but I'm going to pick a weaker cover stock because of the way my ball roll is, because I need the ball to get down lane a little bit further. My ball's already going to read the mid lane because of how I throw the ball, because that's just, as you know, that's my issue. The balls always hook early. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all ball manufacturer, what they want the ball to do. You can only alter it so much. You can alter it a little bit to match up the guy's access point to their tilt and rotation, all that, to maximize what that ball is going to do. But that ball is going to do what that ball is going to do, and I think you have to then alter it with surface.
Right.
So for me, I would say if they come out with the same cover stock on every ball, like the Insider cover stock by Brunswick or by Deviate or the ACT, whatever it was called for the defenders, typically those covers are good, just not in hybrid form for me. But the solid one has always been good traditionally, so I stick with those covers because they're a little bit cleaner. That makes sense. Did I just ramble too long, or did I make sense?
I think it was a good point about the manufacturers driving the certain thing that the ball is designed to do.
Yeah, like if you look at a back, they had an Infinity and then they had a Mindset last year where balls were dulled. Both were dulled. One was a hybrid, but just forget that. But the manufacturer made the Infinity core weaker and they used a weaker cover stock on it. Why? Because the intent was to get the ball down the lane more and continue a little bit more when the bigger ones were burning up too early and they were going too forward. So, you can make the ball roll forward for the Infinity, but it's still going to be relatively more side-rolly than a Mindset would be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I guess that's where I'm going. And then your surface is going to bring it closer to your feet or farther away.
So I want to just show people, because I am capable of speaking just behind Dawson's head there. What I was getting at is, so the two angles that are touching each other would be like the drill angle and the valve angle.
Vertical axis line.
Let's just say, as long as you're anywhere within those angles, which I'm not putting a number to it because I can't remember what your minimums and maximums are supposed to be, because there's like twitch zones, right? That, but not just for
that's pin
not,
to tap.
Yeah, but not just for your length, but there's also angles that you're not supposed to use.
Drill angles
and maximum angles.
Yeah, drill angle is 20 to 90, typically. Pin to pap is 3/4 to 6 inches, and then vertical axis line is 20 to, I would say, 90. I mean, I've seen more with more. I don't really think there's a zone where you shouldn't use, but just know you're getting into weaker balls at that point.
Right.
I've used 15 and 10, by the way, for other people, just not for myself.
So what I'm saying is, let's say you're not getting anywhere outside of those angles or inside of those angles too much, then you know, that's what I was trying to come off as saying, you know, then you're in a, you know, then you're not getting into your extremes. And then let's say that that big dot is your axis point on the ball, and then that arc is your length away from your axis point, or your measurement for your pin to pap. So like, because I can't draw well, but like, that's your, whatever I said, 2 inches to 6 inches maximum.
Oh, that's how far it would be.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's still a big difference.
Right, but most people don't go down to two.
Yeah.
And almost zero people go to axis.
Yeah, nobody does that.
Like Nick Harris, my partner, just got the 2-inch
reality check,
and that thing rolls really good, but nobody uses it on a house shot because, like we talked about, the house shot just rolls the ball for you. So he uses it on shorter sport shots,
mm-hmm.
and rolls really good. But you can visually see a difference between the way that ball rolls and a longer pin.
Yeah, of course. Yes, drill. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of what I was trying to explain.
I guess
the visual was helpful.
Yeah, I guess it's really tough to see. I think it's interesting to see because I don't really think anybody really knows. I mean, I don't really think there's a set answer, because I talked with another guy about what impacts lanes the most and how they play, and there's a lot of factors on that too. Mark brings up angle sums are important too. Yes, I can agree with that. I can see the lane earlier or later. You can adjust them. I'm not saying you can't adjust them, but you know, and adjust how the reaction is, but typically I feel like the reaction, you're going to get a close reaction, you know, within certain limits for ball to ball.
And I also think, like, if a ball just seems to be a dud, you can try a bunch of surface on it, and not a bunch, like a lot of surface. I'm saying a bunch of surface changes, alterations.
Put the drywall screen on it.
and see how it works. And it may completely change how the ball rolls. I've had that happen before. Or it just may not be the ball for you.
Yeah. Zen. I think the... You hated the Zen. I agree with what Brett says, too. Or what was
the other one? The puke ball that I had?
Puke ball.
Yeah.
I like turmoil.
Statement. No, not the turmoil. Not that puke ball. The one that I had at the Masters.
Brutal collision.
Yeah, that thing was terrible.
Brett Groff says he's finding lately that bowlers are focused on layout and fit pitch instead of changing... Altering with surface. I can agree with that. I think as a, you know, you've got to find the axis point. I believe in what JR says. You got to find the axis point so that way you can fine tune the reaction. But that's what you're doing. You're fine tuning reaction, mm-hmm. right? I think you're just trying to, you're not going to get, you know, a whole different world. Yeah, you can alter it 20 boards, but I think that's at the extreme.
Exactly.
Motion. Like when you drill a bowling ball, typically you're trying to drill to
SJR, I've had that happen.
You're trying to make players of lower or lesser tilt become more closer to the perfect, because that's what you're trying to do.
Right.
Right. So that's at the end of the day for the ball driller, that is what they're trying to do. Match rev and dominant ball players see the difference more, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they might. I don't know. At this point, I think that it's pretty interesting to see what the balls will do, but I still see, like, when I watch a Theorem go down the lane, it literally rolls relatively close for most people, which is why I probably don't like it, because it's pretty forward for most of the people I drill for. Now, so, it's some people, the people like the ball reaction. They do, because people are bowling well with it. But for me, it's just so forward down lane. It either reads the friction too quick, and then when I sand it, it already reads it too fast. So then I try to give it more of the compound, and it goes a little too long. I don't know. I think it's definitely a tough thing. It's kind of, you don't even know what to say, because there's a lot of ways you could go here. I guess I might not be concerned about or convinced on layouts aren't as important, but I also see that cover stock and surface are super important. Like, I could take a ball, and if I sand a bowling ball to 500, it's gonna hook very close to the same spot. I mean, it's 500 grit, right? I mean, it's a pearl might go, exactly. And then 1,000 is going to be 1,000. I think you have to fine tune with the layouts. I think sometimes people obsess over the layouts. I think it takes about a half an inch on your pin to PAP to see a difference. So like for me, I'm using, you know, 4.5, 5-inch pins right now on like a Game Breaker 4 and Black Widows and stuff like that. And I'll tell you, I have the same layout on a Theorem and a Black Widow, and the Black Widow rolls 9 million times better, and it's more continuous. And typically the Black Widows for me are always more continuous. So the ball reaction is the same, is very similar. And they're both hybrid. And then I see the Theorem, and I watch it for most people, and it's very forward. So regardless of how you're drilling it, it seems like ball reaction is close, and you're just fine tuning it for the player to get it to read the lane rate. And then you can fine tune it extra with surface to really make the adjustment. I don't know. I'm not backing up, am I? It's just, I'm trying to think about it through. Yeah. And it's a lot to think about.
Ultimately, it all kind of matters, but
what's the importance rating? Like, what would you rate it then? So what's the most important thing?
If you're not drilling in the extremes,
ball mechanics, surface, or layout?
I think the surface is, I
would say ball mechanics or the way it's designed.
If you're a consistent bowler and you're not changing your hand position and stuff a lot, then surface is going to be the biggest factor.
Correct.
If you're not drilling in the extremes.
We'll agree.
Yeah, so I think your surface is actually going to be more important.
Okay, so you're going to rank surface number one.
If you throw it the same, no one throws it the same way every time. But what I mean is, if you don't change your hand positions,
to throw it the same,
if you're not trying to go up the back or on the side or, you know, all this other stuff, you're drilling, again, not super short pins or crazy angles, I think surface is all that matters. And to clarify, I'm not talking about house shots, I guess. So I should say just house shots.
I'm sure it makes a difference in everything. So your ranking would be surfaces number one.
I think so.
What would be number two? Ball mechanics or layouts?
If you don't change your hand positions,
We're going to keep everything constant. Everything is all right, constant.
So then if you don't change your hand positions, then layouts. Because if you're not capable of altering the ball mechanics,
you can't change the ball mechanics. When you drill,
what?
You're going to drill.
You can absolutely, if you throw the ball dead forward, the ball's going to go straight. If you put your hand on the side, then the ball's going to hook. Going to be more angular.
I don't know. I try to get up the back of the ball and it still hooks.
Austin, you've never seen the back of the ball.
I didn't say I do. I said I try.
I think this is an interesting conversation. I think I would have to think about it and have a good conversation. I think I would say that I think the most important thing. This guy is freaking great.
That's a good question. I think that's for everyone.
Is that Steve Ragone?
That could be.
That would be freaking kill me if it was. 23 and 24, if it is that time in country, is hot. Yes. Always. Yeah. That pair is always fantastic. Sure. I'm going to try and think about this logically for 30 seconds. Not even. 2 seconds. Yeah, Steve, I knew it was you. I think you're going to do... I think roll characteristics, if he means... Mark says roll characteristics, ball dynamics, surface layout. I'm going to skip the ball, the roll characteristics. I know what he's saying, but I'm going to try and keep it all the same if it's just me throwing the ball, right? I'm going to take all my variables out, and I'm throwing it exactly the same way. I think it's ball dynamic surface layout as well. I will agree with that. I think, listen, the layouts do matter at a level. you know, and sometimes it takes an incredibly talented player to see the difference in a ball. I could drill a ball different for one guy and he might not know what he's looking at. And it might be a little different here and there, but at the same time, he sees the ball go left to right. It is what it is. But for me personally, I'm going to have to agree. Role characteristics, I'm going to throw that one out the window because I don't really, I mean, I'm not very good, so I never throw it the same way twice. But
most people don't try to change their hand position.
No, I get that. I don't really try to do it either.
But also, what I guess what's going through my head, though, is I would be looking at it with two of the same balls.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be saying, okay, ball dynamics because I'm going to switch balls. I'm going to say, all right, let's say I have two attention stars on the rack,
mm-hmm.
and one's pin up, one's pin down, or something to that effect.
That's all you got to do. That's good.
All right. And then everything else is constant.
Well, if you keep the same pin to pap, you can. So pin to pap and the VAL angle create the hook shape, right? That's what alters the hook shape. The drill angle, throw that out the window because that just tells that. And if you're doing an attention star, it will change. But let's just say phase two is right there, or a sublime, or freaking whatever it is, ethos, whatever, a symmetrical bowling ball. Your pin to pap is going to control how much that ball flares. So if you use a 5-inch pin on both balls, the ball is going to flare the same amount. So hypothetically, the ball is going to go the same distance, right? Because it's the same thing. What changes how the only thing you can change is how quickly it responds to friction and how short the hook zone is, and that's it. Basically, you can change a little bit of the entry angle. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But how different is it? Yeah, it's probably enough to change the entry angle enough to strike if they're at the same surface. But now take a 5x30 on a symmetrical ball and then take a 5x65. The 65, because it's a higher number, means the ball is going to transition through the hook phase slower. The 30 is going to make it transition through the hook phase faster, right? Just so our people are aware of what we're talking about. The 5x30 is going to, in theory, hook earlier because it's going to rev up quicker to the friction, while the higher VAL angle, the 5x65, is going to take longer to go through the transition. So you're changing entry angle. Are you changing how much the ball hooks? How much boards it covers?
Covering boards? Not necessarily. Maybe by a few.
Recently, we found that pin down balls are rolling a lot better than the pin up balls,
mm-hmm.
because the pin up balls are rolling. They're seeing the friction too fast, or they're hooking too early, and then their hook zones are so short they roll forward, which they still cover. Let's say they cover five. Let's say they cover 10 boards, but they cover in such a short amount of time. The ball rolls forward down lane, while the 65 is going to cover 10 boards over a longer amount of time, so it continues better,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what you're changing how fast the hook shape is, but you're still covering roughly the same amount of boards. Obviously, everything is dependent, but it's going to be roughly the same, I would say. And you might lose a board or two here. That's 2 inches,
right?
It's not like it's a whole thing. But then, okay, so now you take the 5x65 and the 5x30, then you put a 500 grip ball, or you put 500 on it, that ball is going to hook 5 feet earlier.
Right.
Now you're going to see the biggest difference. But the ball characteristics in terms of hook, it's still going to hook 10 boards, but it's going to hook in a different spot. So the ball reaction might not be good. I'm just saying it's going to be very similar, or it might be dead because it's hooking too early. So I think that the roll characteristics will be the same. That's what the comparison on layouts would be, I guess. The only thing is you're changing a little bit of entry angle. You might lose a little bit of hook with the pin down ball. So be it. But then when you change surface, you're going to have that biggest change where that ball slows down. So I'm going to say it again, because after I just said that, I'm sorry, it's 8:03.
Sorry, we got one more thing to talk about. It's a season finale. We're going to go all night.
The phase two, in this case, would just hook earlier or whatever it is. It's going to just...
Because
of the surface change, the one ball that's at 500 will be closer to your feet on the break point.
Right.
So I think it would be ball characteristics, surface, layout. Layout is the third. I mean, it's too fine-tuned.
I still don't understand what you mean by ball characteristics if they're the same bowling ball.
Yeah, but if like you're talking about ball, like a perfect mindset to a whatever it is here, pure madness. I don't know. I'm just saying. If you're trying to drill a stronger ball, but you want a stronger ball to roll more forward, I'm going to probably recommend a perfect mindset. Because the ball characteristic is going to tell me it's going to roll more forward.
That I understand, but I just don't understand why we brought that in when we're talking about layouts and surface. That's all I'm saying.
I guess you could say it too. So, fine. Okay, which one's more important, layout or surface? Probably
layout surface. Or surface, or being able to... Change your hand.
I'm not going to talk about change hand.
But while JR did. All right. So, Austin, what do you think? Layout or surface?
Definitely surface. I just don't change mine.
Lane sounds good, buddy.
I will say, I never did the stronger, quote unquote, phase two that I had. But I never adjusted the surface to make it any different, I don't think.
Probably not, but you also drilled it to hook a little earlier.
It was also 5 years newer than my older one, and my older one was kind of like a...
Your old one was like a 5x35 or 5x30. The new one we drilled was like 4x35. So now you're talking, you just got the ball to hook a little bit more at your toes, and then it rolled like crap down lane because it hooked too early.
Yep.
It was trying to slow down too fast. So now you're talking about, okay, now you're changing the ball with the layout.
But I probably could have changed the surface a little bit to make it more likable.
Yeah, you probably could have went up the scale a little bit and got it to be a little bit cleaner, so that way it didn't read the mid lane so hard.
All right, let's get to Tom's thought-provoking question, or not question.
Another incredible.
Real quick, we'll try to make it quick because it is 8:05 or 6 or whatever, and we do have to bowl tonight for the championship or second half championship.
I'm only for fifth or sixth, so
I hope so. It's really just first place. Really fast.
He's already drinking. He's already pre-gaming.
Oh, he's in the bar already?
Nick?
He's pre-gaming.
Yeah, but Nick's good that way.
Thank God.
Ask Kyle how he is.
All right, so tell us what Tom said.
Oh, yeah. So we had another guy. We had a good talk last night. Tom Anderson. Good guy. He's got a good thought process. Smart guy.
Good brain, dude.
Thinker. He said, what do you think is more important? Now, on the same lines, this is funny because maybe he thought about this because of
JR's comments.
Yeah, and Mikey. But he said, he goes, I remember listening Chris Barnes talk about the construction of a lane and how it affects ball motion. He's like, this one's 3-ply and this one's 4-ply or whatever it is. So then he says, what do you think is more important? The surface of the lane, the topography of the lane, the oil, the lane machine, or the pattern?
You got the easiest answer. Yes.
He didn't add, that's not the question he asked. He asked, what is the most important?
Yes.
So, okay. I have two that are the most important. So we're talking about lane surface, age of a lane surface, the age of the lane surface, the topography on the lane.
Not necessarily age in years, age in games.
Lineage.
Yeah.
Has there a lot of lineage? Lane machine and the oil they use, we'll put that together.
Mm-hmm.
Or the oil pattern. So there's four things there. So I'll go first. I won't ramble this time. I'll try not to, at least, because that other conversation is kind of like, it's a rabbit hole. You could talk hours and talk yourself in a circle.
Yeah.
I believe that the age of lane surface and topography would be 1A, 1B. I think that's kind of it.
Which one's A, which one's B? Or did you say...
No, they're interchangeable.
Okay.
They're interchangeable.
So just like on a racing forum, you could bet for both, and whichever one comes in first, you win.
Yeah, I think so.
When you bet number one,
I think they're too close.
1A and 1B both are.
I think they're too close because, yeah.
Or 1 and 1A, excuse me.
Indistinguishable which one is going to affect more.
I think, well, I guess topography would be 1A then because you could slant it to the right.
You could slant it to the right. But go ahead.
If the topography in the center is halfway decent, which most are, I would assume, then it becomes age of lane surface. Because at the age of lane surface, there becomes more lineage, I shall say. Because there's more lineage, there's more of a wear spot in a certain part of the lane. So then the righties can just move left and throw it to the gutter and find they have forgiveness. Sure, whatever. They have a ton of friction to the right. That's just
here we go.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying the right side. That is what happens when there's a high lineage center because the lanes wear out, the aluminum oxide comes through the panels, and then it creates more friction. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Topography, yeah, you could take a brand new lane surface or super old lane surface and friggin' tip it to the right, and the ball can't go uphill because it can't go uphill. So I guess topography would be the most important. If there's, you know, I guess that would be the most important. Then I would say age of lane surface because you can bowl on 44 feet, but if there's a ton of friction at the center, South Glens Falls, I can still find hook in the front part lane. I can still throw Purple Hammer on it or probably any urethane because my ball is going to pick up no matter what. You can, because it's just happened. Because once you kind of figure out how the characteristics of the center are, you can play it. And I would even say sometimes I don't even try to pay attention to topography. I don't say, oh, this lane's to the left, tilted to the left. No, I'm just going to say this lane plays a little bit tighter. And I'm going to make a note that lane 23, regardless of its topography, I'm just going to say this lane plays tighter. So was it the people in front of me? But no, this lane always played tighter. Like lane 8 here always plays tighter for me. Always. Always. Is it topography? I don't know. You're darn right I fixed that lane this year, so I know it's pretty good.
13 hooks, but, like, 4 boards more than right. 14 for me.
So, could it be that? Yeah. But the Age of Lane surface is relatively new here, so it could be the topography in that point. But at the same time, if you're bowling on, like I said, 44 feet, topography is relatively close. There's a big dish in it. There's the ball's going to hook anyways, because if there's a downhill dish, the ball's going to roll down it. So then it's going to be Age of Lane surface. If it's a newer lane surface, the ball's going to be cleaner through the fronts. I can use a stronger ball. It's still going to hook. But if it's a if it's an older lane surface, I know I'm going to see balls that hook early in the front, so it's going to make me have to go into a weaker cover ball a little quicker. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I would totally agree. Like, I think topography, in my opinion, topography is actually number one. To Steve's point where he said pools of oil, I don't agree with that. There's such little oil, so people probably don't really realize how much oil there is on a lane. 25 or 30 mils, depending on the pattern that you're bowling on, is I can't even visually or verbally explain how much oil that is, or how little oil 40, that is.
Typically only like 42 feet, 40 feet.
Over 40 feet, yeah. It's like, it's almost no oil. So when it gets brushed on the lane, it is less than paper thin.
And typically it's not like water, it's thicker, so it doesn't run.
Right.
And plus we're talking, most of our lanes are 30 thousandths of a dish, roughly.
Yeah, there's
some are a little bit more, of course. Right. There's variances, but
I'm not saying 35 thousandths. But
how much is it gonna? How much can it really run down, though?
Right, it's nearly flat.
Yeah.
So what I'm kind of getting at is, it's not so much that the topography pools any oil; it's that it feels like you might have hit a pool of oil because there could be a crown where it's pushing the ball to the right, where you're wanting it to go left.
The ball can't roll uphill, which right. We had at Nationals in 2000.
Oh, that was a beautiful crown.
That was
there.
A great crown down lane at like 45 feet.
You that could, was perfect.
You had like massive
gorgeous
hold.
Gorgeous.
And then you threw it to the right, just wheeled back in, yes, because they were broke down to the right.
Yep, that was great.
Remember that? And then we looked here at it like, oh, no wonder why we could freaking...
Although, we've also learned about topography that, first of all, those readings are from 2017. So... Still, who knows how accurate right they are? Secondly, as I think explained by Kegel, you could take topography readings in August and then topography readings in December, and they will be extremely different because plastic compared to wood is way more variable than... is way more variable. It responds to humidity and temperature way more than wood used to. So there's way more variation in the topography. So
are you sure that's it? Are you sure it's not the front facing screws?
It could be also that. I'm just saying.
If the one comes out from the middle and it starts to back out, then that side's going to come up a little
100%.
Bit.
I'm just saying.
The weather wood was here on the side, and then it was so heavy. It
well, not just here on the side. It was all the way across.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Board to board to board. But and well, glued together.
Yeah, but the nails on the outside are what you could pull the edges down and up.
For, yeah.
The stringers.
Of course, but I'm just saying the whole lane was glued together. Yeah. Like, yeah. But yes, 100% agree. I'm just saying the weather has way more of an effect on these than they used to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting how different. And that, just by the way, for people that are listening, and I've seen other comments on other platforms and whatnot that say, Town and Country, but my bowling alley has no consistency. You know, what do we pay for? What kind of service do we pay for? It's like, okay, but you have no idea what you're talking about, because like, how can you make a shot constant when 1 week, especially in the Northeast, 1 week it's 70 degrees and the next week it's 40 degrees. And then 1 week it's super humid and the next week it's totally dry. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of people don't understand how that impacts the lane surface. So all that to say, topography, I think, is a huge factor, probably the biggest factor.
Typically, it's the cribbing, like Mark said. It's not necessarily the plastic. But
I agree because it's what's holding it. But like,
yeah, but if it moves,
the cribbing here is the same as the cribbing that was under the, well, some of it was, a lot of it was replaced, but the cribbing here was under the wood lanes as well.
Yeah, no, it was, but I mean,
it's probably why it's pretty good here too. The lanes are, the topography here is pretty good.
Maybe. But the other thing too is the screws in it from the front, what is it? The front screw, whatever it is called.
Top down screws.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them. My brain's fried. I'm assuming they have to loosen up while the wood wasn't like that, right? So it was a little bit different. So if, like I said, if the one screw in the middle backs out a little bit, then the lane in the middle can pull up a little bit.
Bowling balls just slammed on you all day.
Exactly. So it probably pulls out a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. The cribbing underneath is its own living thing because the building also moves.
Right? And it's on cold concrete.
Right. I think the plastic responds to...
You're at South Point when you're three stories up in the air.
Yeah.
And then you're probably pretty well temperature controlled, which is actually like most of the places in Las Vegas. They're all up in casinos, which is pretty interesting too. But anyway, but yeah, most bowling alleys in the world are all ground level on concrete, responding to the ground temperatures.
Yes, Mark says it's not the cribbing, but if the place moves, then the foundation has to move.
Of course.
So that's why it changes. Wood lanes didn't have as much as an issue, absolutely, because you could screen them, but it still moved because the cribbing underneath or the center itself moved. So if that changes, then of course the lanes are going to shift with it and move a little bit. As it moves, it changes that way. Also, the plastic, they did a test on this. Yeah, it doesn't absorb moisture, absolutely correct. But the temperature of the lane beds makes a huge difference. Not sure if people look at that, but when they're on the TV pair, that's why the balls typically hook more, because the TV lights actually heat up the plastic, which when it's heated up, it creates more friction. Mm-hmm. And then when it's colder out, the lane beds usually play a little bit tighter. And I see it here. I mean, when it gets a little bit colder, it does play better. Not better, but it's
better cleaner. For you.
Better for me. The wood lanes didn't have an issue because you can screen resurface them. Absolutely. I can agree with you on that. You can make them last longer. It just costs a heck of a lot more money. Actually, it might not be a heck of a, if you have somebody do it, it's a heck of a lot more money.
Right.
But when we did it ourselves, it's just a pain in the butt to do every year.
Yeah. And then clean the whole bowling alley.
Yeah, that was tough. I remember those days.
Imagine, you know what would be really cool? If somebody would actually build a wood center. That would be pretty sick. It would never happen. I'm just saying.
You'd probably put pretend wood in the front.
Yeah, but who's going to actually build wood approaches, maple approaches, maple heads?
Nobody's going to build it.
That's what I'm saying. It would be pretty neat. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Kyle.
It's on you.
Right. So
find the property.
So what do you think? I'm thinking number one's topography. Number two is definitely surface as far as lineage. Oil to me is... Yeah, I mean, if it's easy, then it's gonna eliminate the topography. It's going to ease the topography. So if you're on an easier shot, it's going to not make the topography as noticeable, I suppose. So
hit the powerball, put in wood lanes. You can come to surface them.
Basically, the flatter the pattern, the more the topography is exposed, right?
Yeah,
we kind of see that when we bowl,
especially when you can see
that. And what was the other factor? Oh, the lane machine.
The lane machine does make a difference
because if you don't have a properly maintained unit.
Oh no, I'm talking about like
age,
wick.
Style,
pad machine.
Sure, yeah. Is anybody still using those things? Brush.
I'm sure people are.
There's got to be some out there.
Be interesting.
Hilltop's got hand a pretty sprayed old machine.
Do they?
Yeah.
What color is it?
It's black.
Ah. It's not red or silver. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not like the old one we had here.
Silver box would have bought that thing up in a minute. Jacko would have fixed that sucker right up.
I love my old silver box.
You know what the silver box is? They have one at Saratoga. Well, they used to. Phoenix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Silver
Phoenix box. S.
He loved that thing.
Yep.
I think tonight I'm going to go spray the lanes before you guys bowl so I can watch like fireworks.
Dude, that was one of the best nights I had. The hand oiled lanes. That was
fun.
That was awesome. All right.
Yeah, because you won.
No, I came in second.
Okay, you guttered. Lane two.
You're welcome to the zone.
Gutter doesn't hook.
All right. Well, with all that being said, that was a fun conversation. Don't forget to like, subscribe, click the bell to get alerts from the channel. It is time for us to go bowling. Yes,
I would like to interject. If there is anyone in the Capital District area that has a lathe,
oh,
we have a video.
Chris doesn't have a lathe.
I haven't talked to him.
Oh, well, he'll be here tonight.
But yes, we do need have an idea for a video this summer that we want to do.
Don't say
if
it.
If you have a lathe,
we just need a lathe.
I don't think anybody told me this.
Yes, we did, and I remember the conversation.
Oh, because I don't know what a lathe is.
Yes. All right. So if you have a lathe, let us know.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah.
We're going.
All right. So you can email us at downlanepod@gmail.com and check out that merch shop where you can get some shirts, sweatshirts, all that good stuff. Don't forget the lathe. And this is our season's finale. This is it for the season. So thank you so much, guys, for watching week in and week out. Thank you to all our guests this year, especially Randy Peterson for coming on a few months ago.
He was incredible.
That was a great show, wasn't it? One of the best.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you to Jack Skacher, proprietor of Town and Country Lanes, for having us every week. Hope you enjoy the show. Austin, great job producing this year, as always. Don't forget to watch Tonight We Bowl, because he puts that together each week. And this week, you will see the winner
or the loser.
Crowned half champion of the league, because we do halves here.
One of our team is going to be the winner.
That's right. One of us is taking first
place.
Never
know. It could be me.
Anthony, great job. Assistant to the hosting.
I want my real name.
30 weeks in a row.
Butcher. I don't know. What's your real name now?
Pretend Touring Pro. You can pro. It's my real name now.
You should get a sign made up. Put it over the hat.
I'm going to get a shirt.
Over the
shop. Yeah, where have your hats been all season?
I'm losing more hair. I can't lose more yet, so I'm trying to... It's my new nickname, non-touring pretend professional lefty thrower.
Member. You are a member.
Yeah, because I have to be because I cash enough.
Oh! All right.
Plus, I like the bone because I cash enough. I guess I wasn't being like a... That wasn't like a...
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Thank you to my family, Stephanie, Zach, and Ethan.
Phineas, Jambred.
We will see you guys next season and check out all the videos this summer. We will be posting some. Shut your face. All right, guys. We will see you guys next season. This is Down Lane Podcast.